comes now the long-threatened State of the Stations in Miami, from QAM at 560 to WRHC at 1550. We'll find about 20 stations within 20 miles of downtown. You'll understand we had to pick an arbitrary 20 miles or we'd never get through the list. While there's a lot of Spanish programming in Miami, as expected, there's also a mix of other ethnic, religious, and sports formats. The Miami-Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood radio market has been one of the top 15 in the country for decades, and a lot of radio history was made. With the heavy Hispanic population, the market was one of the earliest in the nation to embrace successful Latin formats. Even the top 40 stations have leaned toward Latin artists over the years. Various power levels, as usual, some stations with little nighttime coverage, and a number of heritage call letters. One of the earliest AM radio licensees in Miami was WFAW, owned by the Miami Daily Metropolis. Other heritage call letters in the market that go back many decades include WQAM and WIOD. The granddaddy of them all, of course, was QAM. The call letters reportedly stood for "We Quit at Midnight." The station has claimed to be Florida's first, going on the air in February 1921. However, it was not licensed as WQAM until January 1923. QAM is famous for its heydays in the 1960s under the ownership of Storrs Broadcasting, when it presented a top 40 format and competed vigorously with rival WFUN at 790. These were the WQAM 560 glory years. In 1964, QAM promoted the Beatles heavily prior to their second appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show, which took place in Miami Beach. And now we quote from an article by Alice Brannigan entitled WQAM on the Move. In January of 1921, the Department of Commerce issued a broadcasting license to a new station authorized to operate with 250 watts on 833 kilohertz. It was the southernmost broadcasting station in the U.S. For whatever reasons, within a few brief months, WQAM had cut its power back to 100 watts. In those days, the government was driving stations crazy by constantly reorganizing their frequency assignments and powers. This was the Department of Commerce's inept attempt at dealing with the rapidly expanding service, though regulations governing broadcasting were virtually non-existent. By early 1924, the government relocated WQAM to 1140, but by July they again ordered a move, this time to 1000. By the end of 1924, the station had been told to shift to 1120, only to be sent back to 1140 in 1925. And by that time, shifts aside, WQAM was calling itself the pioneer broadcast station of Florida. Radio stations were not universally pleased with their newly mandated frequency reassignments. During this period of no radio regulation, it was a common practice for stations to ignore federal assignments and simply use their own favorite channels. In November of 25, QAM reportedly jumped to the unauthorized frequency of 1050, using 1,000 watts, though still authorized for 1140 with 100 watts. WQAM was still Miami's only year-round broadcast, because WIOD WMBF shut down during the summer. In the spring of 1927, the newly formed Federal Radio Commission assigned WQAM to 930, permitting the station to operate with 750 watts. In late November, WQAM was shifted to 780. In late 1928, they were moved to 1240. By early 1929, power increased to a kilowatt, and shortly, WQAM shifted to 560. Good grief. Imagine the trouble the engineers had in changing transmitters and antennas with all these moves. Well, in 1932, WQAM's transmitter was moved to the top of the Miami Daily News Building, and in 1938, moved to the water's edge at Biscayne Bay and 14th Street, where a new 224-foot self-supporting Blaw-Knox vertical antenna was installed, and the station's slogan became the Voice of Tropical America. In 1941, WQAM received a permit to increase its daytime power to 5 kilowatts, and this was completed by 1943 with the addition of a new 380-foot-tall self-supporting tower installed on a pier extending out into Biscayne Bay. In 1956, the station was sold to Todd Storrs Mid-Continent Broadcasting Company, later to become known as the Storrs Broadcasting Company. They exploded in the Miami market on what was considered by many to be the best station in the country, not giving an inch to WABC. In the battle with competitor WFUN, it was recalled by QAM jocks that we murdered WFUN. FUN had 2020 news, so QAM had 2020 twin spins. When the Beatles played Jacksonville, FUN rented a bus, so QAM came back with a fleet of buses. Then WFUN countered with a DC-7 prop plane. QAM checkmated with a DC-8 jet to take listeners there. It was that kind of battle, and WQAM nearly always prevailed. The station was widely listened to in Cuba, especially in Havana, where youngsters used to pick up the signal effortlessly with ordinary radio sets. It was hip to listen to it, and during the late 1970s, when the only form of fun young Cubans had was to gather at a friend's house to dance to American music, generations of high school boys and college students used to keep tab on Casey Kasem's American Top 40 on WQAM. Lee Abrams recalls that things unraveled for WQAM in the early 70s. Most importantly, he said, culture changed dramatically in the late 60s. Moon landings, drug revolution, sexual revolution, riots in the streets, Vietnam. WQAM was so firmly rooted in the middle 60s surf generation that they just couldn't cut through. Add to that the emergence of FM, a new generation of artists that hardly identified with the WQAM era, and many unfortunate internal issues like a strike, firing their kingpin, Rick Shaw, a haircut rule amongst the jocks, and a management forced deal where they had to wear these goofy blazers with a happy tiger on them to public appearances. And he said there was a general losing of the vibe. WQAM dominated in the late 50s, then to cut costs, they automated. They died. Then they scrapped the automation in 63 in time for the Beatles invasion, and from 1964 to 1968, they were untouchable. It seemed like an eternity, Abrams said, but to me, that magic was a fleeting four-year spread. It shows how greatness is fleeting if you don't work at it. In 1980, WQAM tried country, but in the early 1990s, the station added oldies and sports talk, and the country music format was dropped. The oldies music lasted until 93, when the format was changed to all sports, and the station became known as Sports Radio 560. WQAM operates that format full-time on 560, 5 kilowatts day, 1 kilowatt night, non-directionally, from its studios in Hollywood, Florida, still licensed to nearby Miami. Another heritage call is found at 610. That, of course, WIOD, currently operating as a news talker. It appears from old government records that the station was at first confused with WMBF, which stood for Miami Beach, Florida. It's possible there was a timeshare arrangement early on. The WIOD call first appears in 1926. Within a year, WIOD was on 1210, and their records indicate they identified as WIOD WMBF. Things became clearer a year later. WMBF's authorization was terminated. WIOD ID'd as the Wonderful Isle of Dreams. At the same time, they were moved to 1240 at a kilowatt, then assigned to 560 at 500 watts. An experimental license for nighttime operation at 500 watts gave the feds enough information so they could allow WIOD to do 1 kilowatt day and 500 night. The next frequency change was to 1120. Now they timeshared with WDBO Orlando. This was in 1929. The timeshare didn't make sense, so the next stop for WIOD was 1300, same power levels. Then in 1937, the final move to 610, 1 kilowatt full-time. In 1941, the authorization was expanded to 5 kilowatts full-time, directional night. From 1959 to 1962, the call letters were WCKR. Some of you remember Whacker Radio. They attempted a rock and roll format, but were unsuccessful against strong competition. The WIOD call went to 1360. They played with Top 40 on that channel. We'll talk about that later. The call letters returned to 610 in 1962. Today, WIOD has reportedly one of the largest radio news staffs in the business. It operates in Miami as News Radio 610. That takes us to 670 in Spanish WWFE, allowed on the air on this Clear channel after the breakup of the Clears. They're 50 kilowatts day and 1,000 at night. They operate the Spanish format as La Ponderosa and feature a diet which includes Cuban music. There's not much known anecdotally about this station, and they don't seem to be a big player on the Spanish scene. On 710, we discover Spanish News Talk WAQI, formatted as Radio Mambí. It came on as WFTL in 1939 on 1370 kilocycles, got to 250 watts, moved to 1400 by Narva. From there came the 1942 jump to one of the 1B channels, 710, with 10 kilowatts directional night, providing, said the feds, they could provide adequate protection to WOR New York. You'll remember back then the 1B channels usually had only three stations. In this case, they were WOR, Miami, and Cairo in Seattle. In 1945, they were known as WGBS, and in 1947, upped the power to 50 kilowatts day, 10 at night directional. And finally, in 1962, came 50,000 watts full-time directional. In 1985, the call letters WAQI appeared. A solid signal toward Cuba allows Radio Martí a voice for an hour of news on WAQI nightly from 12 midnight to 1 a.m. Not sure if this is still happening. Prior to 1985, the station was known as WGBS under the ownership of Storer Broadcasting, going through a number of mainstream adult music and eventually talk formats. This is a coward's way of telling you that there are many, many stories associated with this station and others, but we just don't have time to relate them. But we will take a few moments for fun on 790. WFUN was Miami's legendary Top 40 outlet, going head-to-head with QAM's Tiger Radio. Wiki says that originally the station was located at 800 as a daytimer. While there, it was licensed to Miami Beach and was the first station in the area to hold the WMBM call letters. Then to 1490. In early 1960s, the station migrated down to 790 and went full-time as WFUN. The 790 dial position was a moderately directional signal, despite coverage limitations, especially to the southwest. WFUN competed vigorously with WQAM throughout the 1960s, as we said, and they even won some of the ratings sweeps. Because of the emergence of FM in 1976, WFUN abandoned Top 40 for an adult standards MOR format. FUN was used by one of its disc jockeys to create the revolutionary and hybrid Boss radio broadcasting sound of Swinging Radio England, heard from the coast of southern England in 1966. In 1978, 790 was WNWS AM with a news talk format. Popular talk show host Tom Lakus was heard in the early 1980s. In 1990, back to music as WMRZ, 790 Memories. WMRZ switched to a schedule of brokered programming in late 1993, then became WAXY AM in 1994 after the original Waxy on FM abandoned those call letters. They aired an eclectic mix of shows from investors, sports, radio theater, religion, as well as a mixed bag of music shows, including hip-hop, Cajun, Zydeco, oldies, and gospel. Recently, Waxy was 790 the ticket, but our spies tell us there may have been another format change this summer. WACC is next at 8:30, operating Spanish at 1,000 watts, two different patterns. They ID as Radio Paz, Radio Peace. They're an outlet of Pax Catholic Communications. And now to WINZ at 9:40. Wins on as a 1 kilowatt daytimer in 1946 with the call WFVL. However, an early challenge from WFTL as to market confusion caused the call change to WINZ. They quickly built out their facilities. Within a year, they were full-time with a nighttime directional. Then in 1951 came the license for 50 kilowatts day, 10 at night, with two different patterns. Today, the WINZ daytime signal reaches as far north as Fort Pierce, as far west as Fort Myers in Naples, and as far south as the Bahamas. The station has managed to score ratings in the Fort Myers, Naples, and West Palm Beach, Boca Raton markets, despite its tower being over 100 miles away. During the early 1960s, WINZ competed with Top 40 powerhouses WQAM and WFUM. Personalities included Bruce Morrow, who was heard there during 1960, but who then returned to his hometown of New York and began a long run at WABC the following year as Cousin Brucey. In the 90s, Wins was 940 Fox Sports Radio, competing with WQAM and, in this case, WAFN. In 2004, the station signed on in a liberal talk format. Then in 2009, the format shifted back to sports, and Wins is now known as the sports animal. Let's see, 990, the home of WMYM, the children's radio station affiliated with Radio Disney. WMYM serves Miami for Disney, as well as covering Disney Cruise Line's private island, Castaway Key. WMYM operates full-time with 5 kilowatts DA2. Despite identifying as Miami-Fort Lauderdale, WMYM's 6-tower directional pattern causes the signal to be almost unheard in Broward County. On 1020, you'll find WURN broadcasting a world ethnic format. Licensed to Kendall, Florida, the station serves the Miami area with a world ethnic format. They went on the air as WAOP in 1995, then the station changed its call sign to WRBF in 2001. In 2008 came the current WURN, operating 9,000 watts day, 980 watts night, two directional patterns from 6 towers. WHIM at 1080 is a Christian radio station licensed to Coral Gables, serving the Miami area. The station is currently owned by Salem Communications and is the South Florida home to Florida State Seminoles basketball broadcast. Original call, WVCG, is the voice of Coral Gables. It began on 1070 and was Miami's first all-classical music station. The station upgraded its power to 50,000 watts in the 60s, moving up the dial to 1080. Following a series of format changes to middle of the road, a brief stint as oldies, and then 2 decades as a time-brokered multi-ethnic station, it switched to a talk format geared to African Americans in 2006 under Radio 1 ownership and abandoned its legacy call letters in favor of WTPS, the People's Station. The station was purchased by Salem in 2008. Under Salem, the station adopted a Christian format and added WMCU call letters. In 2010, 1080 was WHIM and now broadcasts English-language Christian talk programming 14 hours a day, Spanish-language Christian talk 3 hours a day, and Haitian Creole programming 7 hours overnight. Now we come to 1140, home to WQBA, known as La Voz de Miami. WQBA boasts 50 kilowatts day, 10 at night, behind 2 directional patterns. Big changes hit WQBA's market and listening audience in the summer of 2012, and we quote from the Miami Herald. WQBA, the historic Spanish-language radio station that was once a powerhouse among Miami's Cuban-American exiles, will shed its moniker and much of its local content next month, when it will lose several of its most popular personalities as part of a makeover by owner Univision. The moves are part of an effort by Univision to launch a new national AM radio network dubbed Univision America. The result for South Florida, shrinking local news talk show programming on the influential Spanish language airwaves. And the end, as listeners knew it, of WQBA, which for nearly 2 decades was the voice of Miami's influential exile community, as La Cubanísima, the very Cuban. WQBA dropped the Cubanísima handle about 15 years ago in an effort to appeal more broadly to younger Cubans and non-Cuban Hispanics. In recent years, WQBA had reinvented itself with a local news focus. Long before WQBA lost its dominance of the airwaves, however, it was the king of militant anti-Fidel Castro news and commentary, and at one time in the mid-1980s, the most listened-to AM station in South Florida. Established in 1967, the station changed its call letters from WMIE to WQBA, the closest it could come to WCuba. 3 years later, 3 gunmen in Army green pants and black hoods took 2 station employees hostage and broadcast a pro-Castro message before fleeing. In the tradition of Cuban advocacy journalism, the station featured callers on the air who were sometimes cut off if they were rude or disagreed with the host. It rallied protesters, called for boycotts, raised money for causes, and stirred long-coveted Cuban-American voters. But today, the WQBA website takes you to the national website for Univision America. Miami's ethnic lineup continues as we stop the scan button on 1170 to hear WAVS, licensed to nearby Davie, Florida. They came on in 1969. Some records show it might have been on 1190 as a news talker daytime, but now they're 5,000 watts day on 1170, cutting to 250 directional after sunset. In their talk days, famous alumni included Sally Jesse Raphael. Their on-air trade name today is Heartbeat of the Caribbean. WNMA is heard on 1210 in Miami. They came to the airwaves on 1220 as WOAH with a country format, but as a 250-watt daytimer on 1220, they found substantial improvement moving up the dial one notch and adding two towers. They went Spanish as WLTO, date unknown. In another part of WNMA's former life, they were WCMQ, an AM stereo operation doing Latin music. WNMA is now authorized 47 kilowatts a day, dropping to 2,500 watts at night to protect WPHT in Philadelphia. They're known today as El Metro 1210. 1260 delivers WSUA. Today, they too in the Spanish stable, but they had a great history back when radio was king. This from Wiki. In the 1950s and 60s, the station at 1260 had the call letters WAME, known as Whammy in Miami. The station had a top 40 format and was initially a daytimer. Its programs were popular with teenagers and young adults in the cities in the early days of the rock and roll era, but faded in popularity as more Cuban refugees moved into the cities. The station changed formats, first to good music, easy listening, then to R&B. In 1969, then WAME traded call letters with then WWOK in Charlotte, North Carolina, and adopted a country music format. In the early 1980s, the station was sold to the owners of the Top 40 Y100. Call letters on the AM changed to WHTT, and the station broadcast a black oldies format with emphasis on Motown and soul. The station shortly thereafter took on a Hispanic look. After the station was sold yet again, the call letters became WSUA, Radio Suave, and took on a ballad-oriented format. Today, WSUA is Spanish news talk and considered to be the number one Spanish-language talk station in Miami. Which takes us to 1320 in WLQY. Interesting station. Came up as WGMA, a 1 kilowatt daytimer with an MOR format. In 1967, the station went country, along with a power increase and 24-hour operation. Big splash in the media. And they were the only country station at the time in Miami. This lasted until about 1979, when they announced the end of country, provoking a terrible reaction and even violence among fans and media. They then tried an awful format called Lady on 1320 for singles only. It stunk, it bombed. After only a few months, the station was sold. The call changed to WLQY and the brand to Lucky 13. The format was the Music of Your Life syndication. Today, 1320 has a world ethnic format on the air with 5,000 watts full-time from four towers, two directional patterns. WKAT 1360 is 5,000 watts day, 1,000 night, non-directional. The station was first licensed in 1937 on 1500 with 100 watts. By 1939, they were 250 watts unlimited time, granted a move to 1330 in 1940, just before NARBA moved them to 1360. All these moves allowed an increase to 1,000 watts, and over the years, the station's power was increased to today's level. Formats over the years included sports, talk radio, even classical music. We learned above they even held the heritage call letters WIOD for a time. Today, WKAT airs Salem Communications Radio Luz, Spanish-language Christian format. We'll pass by WOIR on 1430, a Spanish contemporary Christian Spanish news talk format. They're licensed to Homestead, Florida, and serve some parts of Miami and the Keys, but they're not really a player in Miami itself. Yet another Spanish format is found on 1450. WOCN is La Nueva, with about 20 years of doing Spanish. In a previous life, 1450 was a world ethnic talk format, selling airtime to programmers who then sold their own advertisements. The station was known in the Cuban-American community for its leftist commentators. 1450 is a local channel, so they're limited to 1 kilowatt full-time with limited reach and limited influence. Miami's 1490 is another local frequency and the home of WMBM. The station does gospel programming. They came on as WAHR in 1957. Famous alumni from that era included Larry King. In the early 1960s, 1490 became WMET as South Florida's first full-time Spanish station. After some changes, the WMET call went elsewhere, and the station became WMBM. They broadcast rhythm and blues, gospel, and programming targeted to an African-American audience. In 1993, they became WSBH with a talk format. But 2 years later, the MBM call returned with today's gospel format. WMBM's coverage should not be confused with WEXY 1520 next up the dial. WEXI also runs a gospel format, but their signal is farther up the coast and has a null toward Miami. Finally, 1520 in WRHC with 10,000 watts day and 500 night and a good signal over Miami. WRHC identifies as Radio Adina Azul and runs musical and variety formats in Spanish from Coral Gables. And there you have it, folks, our two-part State of the Stations in Miami, Florida.